And away we go here on WWGH Radio. It is time for the Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. Heard every Friday morning from 11:10 a.m. until 12 p.m. live here on the station. Repeats on Sunday morning, 8:10 a.m. till 9 a.m. And every Wednesday from 3:10 to 4 p.m. Past shows, right back to the very beginning, are available on the website, WWGH1071.com. Just go to Program Archives. It's the first show under there, the Pastor Spot, and you can go back to the very beginning. And we now turn the show over to the host, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Pastor, how are you?
I'm doing great today, Scott. Good to be here with you, and Tim Steele's here with us also today.
Howdy.
It's a beautiful, beautiful sunny day out. Man, it just makes me feel like getting up and getting busy, you know. But I am Pastor Steve Whitaker from Community Christian Fellowship. We're at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, Ohio. Our number there is 740-494-2222. You can reach us on the web at prospectccf.com. And if you have any prayer requests, please, call in and leave those, or call in today with a prayer request if you need it, or anything you'd like to talk about. Also, sponsoring us also is Jeff's Bicycle Shop in Prospect, and also Mid-Ohio Insurance Solutions for all your insurance needs. So it's good to be here. I've been an interesting week for me, other than an occasional slip-up, like this morning. I've been trying to pay a little more attention to eating healthy and being healthy. You know, you have those things that kind of spark you and make you think, man, I've got to do something. This is, you know, and it's hard when you get to be my age and our age. Well, you're younger than all of us, but anyway, all of a sudden things stick to you that used to be like water off a duck's back. And it's so hard to keep weight off. When you're younger, you can eat anything you want. And it seems like now if I smell food, it attaches to me physically. But it's kind of funny. Last week, I was doing the live feed from the church on Sunday morning, and I stepped out away from the pulpit to say something. And I watched it later. I watched the live feed. And when I stepped out from the pulpit, I had this vision of Humpty Dumpty and realized I got to do something about this, because that's not me going forward. I just got to get a hold of that.
You know, but do you think that people, and people do this with their voices as well, do you think people ever think they look and sound like they think they look and sound?
Good question. Maybe not.
I think there's a big disconnect.
Always. I think there may be two.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe so, because I've seen people that I've listened to for a long time, and I'm like, whoa, I didn't expect that. Yeah, people definitely can look different.
Well, I've just noticed, I mean, you see somebody every day, you see them walking around every day, you see how they're dressed every day, but when they see themselves, they have a huge problem with it. Now, they don't have a huge problem with you, they don't have a huge problem with anybody else, but they all of a sudden have a problem with themselves. And I've interviewed a lot of actors, and this is one of the fascinating insights I've always found to acting. A lot of actors say, while they're doing particularly a television series, because it's every week, and if it's popular and it's going on year after year after year, they don't watch it because they're afraid that they will pull back because they have seen themselves.
And if it's going well and it's being received well, don't rock the boat.
Just do it.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's funny how we perceive ourselves, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And some people, interesting subject. I didn't plan on talking about this, but since you bring it up, how we perceive ourselves, unfortunately, a lot of people perceive themselves as being less effective, less positive, less of an impact than they really are. And I don't know why it is that some of us have, it's very easy to have, be more self-conscious or putting yourself down more, thinking, but we see that more and more today, I think. Maybe it's always been there. People were so busy trying to live, survive, that they didn't have time for all the drama that we put onto ourselves. You know, you think about it, 100 years.
I think they're too busy trying to hide it from themselves to notice that that's a problem with them.
Yeah, possibly too. But you know, it used to be a full time job. You get out of bed and you were doing the things to make sure you survived the next day all day long. I know when I was growing up, all the clothes got put on the clothesline. Very few clothes got put in a dryer, and all the things that we did. But it seemed like we had a little bit more personal time to ourselves. And I think that that's something we miss a little bit. But yeah, we are more, I think too, we're more concerned. We found out because of media and just the difference in our culture that everyone seems to be looking at you to find something wrong. They feel that way, so that makes them more self-conscious. Well, I just tell them up front and get it over with. You know, I got all kinds of stuff here. Just take your pick. I'm moving forward. You know what I mean? If someone's going to pick you apart, it's really not worth your time to be concerned about it, right?
Well, I think you have to know your own picadillos. And once you're familiar with them, then if somebody else attacks them, it's no surprise to you. So you're okay.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
Very much so. I was going to read something this morning in Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 13. And it says, people were bringing little children to him, speaking of Jesus, of course, in order that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. And when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, let the little children come to me. Don't stop them, because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And after taking them in his arms, he laid his hands on them and blessed them. What a wonderful passage that is. And, you know, when it talks about unless someone receives a child, receives the kingdom of God like a child with that, children are very open. They believe a lot. You can lead them down a path, a good path, usually quite easily, but you can lead them down a bad path too. And when I think about children and I think how vulnerable they are, and what they go through, it just is something that I think all of us truly need to open our eyes to. Another passage that people don't think of often is that whoever offend one of these little ones, it's better that a millstone be hung around their neck and they be drowned in the depths of the sea. Now think about that when you're not treating a child right, or you're keeping them from, actually the passage is keeping them from him. And you know, I think that we really need to pay a lot more attention to our children and what we do with them. I know it's hard sometimes when you're pastoring a church and you want to emphasize so strongly on children when there's needs of the elderly, the senior citizens, all groups need to be addressed. But our children, with no fault of their own, are led down paths today that was not of their choice. Kids do not ask to be born to addicted parents. They don't ask to be born with parents that just go off and do their own thing and leave them with grandparents. They don't ask to be born into families with parents that cuss them out on a regular basis. But we see these things in society, and we see the outcome of those things in society. I was thinking about this. I was watching Chicago PD, I think it's called. I don't pay attention to show titles. I just watch what pops up. But, you know, I was watching it last night, and I was thinking about this. These young guys were real thugs. I mean, they were definitely someone that it would be have a hard time having any compassion for, especially the way they were treating young people and using young teenagers to run drugs for them and talking them into this, that, and the other. But then I thought about those guys, and I thought, you know, you look at those guys, and you just have no use for them whatsoever. But at some point, they were that little toddler that was cute as a button. They were just, you know, they were just cute as a button. And they, there was a choice that was made there. And I think that all of us, we get to a point in our life where we have to be accountable. I have to be accountable for my life. You have to be accountable for your life. Tim, you have to be accountable for yours. And we may at the age of making those decisions. But the hard thing is for these young kids is that they don't make those decisions when they're young. People make them for them. And I don't think there's anything more sad than a young child with a good heart and good intentions being forced to walk a path that they can't stand and that makes them sad and eventually makes them calloused. And the problem is, once they're calloused, they get to that point as a young adult where they don't trust, they don't love, their emotions have been seared, and they go down a bad path. Then they're this terrible person that we talk about. Well, why don't we go back to the root of this thing and start taking care of these children? I am going to implore people to do something that we don't do much in our society today. Get involved. Be nosy. Can you believe I'm saying that in 2021? You need to be nosy. But we need to know what's going on with these kids. We need to recognize the signs of something's not right. We need to make things available to them that maybe no one else is doing. Hey, if you see a kid out there playing with your kids and they have no shoes or their shoes or feet are coming to the side of their shoes, go get them a pair of shoes. I bet they're going to be able to keep them. I'll tell you a story. Years ago, we had we have a lot of kids clubs at the church. It was a kids club night. This little girl was there. She was probably 5, 6, 7, in that age. I don't remember the exact age. But anyway, they were getting ready to play activity, physical activity. And the lady leading it said, okay, everybody take off their shoes. And this little girl didn't take them. She goes, Zora, you need to take off your shoes. She started crying. Pulled her aside, says, what's wrong, honey? Why are you afraid to take off your shoes? She said, my mom doesn't do laundry, and my feet stink really bad, and everyone's going to make fun of me. Now think about how that little girl felt. You know what I mean? And then the same little girl gets to be a teenager, and everyone's making fun of her because she's got an attitude. I know this. I watched this kid grow. She got an attitude. She has low expectations for herself. Do we really understand what we do in our society to young people? What we expose them to? And it can come right back to, look, if you want to watch sexually explicit dramas on TV or violence or whatever that case may be, that's your right, that's your prerogative in America to do that. Why are you letting your kids sit on the couch with you? You know, they're developing, their minds are developing, they're growing. How about something a little more wholesome for the kids? How about sitting down and reading a book with them? I've got a granddaughter by the name of Meredith. I love her to death. She's I think she's 18 months now, maybe 19. I don't keep, you know, I'm a man. I don't keep track of that stuff. But anyway, if there's a book, she sees a book anywhere in the room, she's picking it up, she's coming to you, open. She wants it open, and she wants you to read to her. But if that book wasn't available, that would have never happened. If she didn't have someone at some point sitting down to read a book with her, she wouldn't think about books. It wouldn't be part of her world. Little kids, when I see them in church and Sunday school and in the little primary classes, they have such a wonderful time. Now, some people today in our society say, oh, you're just trying to indoctrinate them. No, you're just trying to show them something good. You're trying to show them love and peace and character and kindness and loving other people. And if that's indoctrination, I guess maybe we need some more of it. Because what they're getting outside of that is not. You know, we've gotten so competitive with our kids in school that it's almost like the parents are living vicariously through their children. And you see that, you know, little Johnny better, if he doesn't start, coaches.
You know, Nan Britton, the mother.
And what about that personal time with that kid and helping them develop? You know, we want them to hold up the trophy. We want them to look like a winner. There's a huge difference between looking like a winner and being a winner. Would you say?
Oh, I think so.
And I see a lot of the looking like a winner out there. And the problem is, once all the dust settles and they become young adults, you see the real difference. You know, you see the ones that were nurtured and brought up to be a decent human being. Not that... That's not me. I don't mean that disparagingly to the others, but we're brought up to trust God, to love their fellow man, to love people, put others before themselves. And you see this life start to blossom and beautiful families come out of it. And then you see this kid that was pushed, and not given that firm foundation of love, strength, perseverance, all those things that come with that. And you see those kids, they just fall apart as adults. And it hurts. Look what you're doing down the road to these young people. These are the kids that you say that you love. Well, if you love them, help them build a foundation that is going to be worthy and last them a lifetime. Rather than just, well, the school will take care of it. I feel so bad for our teachers today. And like in any other institution or any other job, you've got good ones and bad ones, right? You're going to have that. But a lot of these teachers care for these kids so much, and some of them are so busy trying to attend to the personal needs and the deficits that these kids have that they don't get to further education with them. They're just trying to maintain these kids so they can stay in school. And it's because a lot of the parents say, well, that's your job. No, it was never our educational system's job to raise children. It really wasn't. And we really, at some point, if we don't take personal responsibility for anything else in this country and in this world, I think one area we really need to focus on personal responsibility is the children that we parent. You know what I mean? I hear these... There's a new term out there now. Rather than saying, you know, that's the baby's father, that's the baby's, that's my baby daddy. You heard that one? That's my baby daddy. And I'll be rather blunt in saying this. What they're basically saying, the underlying word phrase for that is, that's my genetic donor to this child. Because it doesn't involve someone that's staying there helping raise the child. It doesn't involve somebody that's putting that child first. It means that somebody was fertile and somebody else impregnated them. And how sad is that in this world? Don't give these people such an easy out, and we do. Guys are out there fathering kids and walking away from them and then wanting to blame society on the problems that the children are having. I can promise you there's not a child out there, any child, that wouldn't love to have a good relationship with a father. and a good relationship with their mother. You know, that's how things had been for forever, and it worked well. God designed the family that way. And not that, you know, I understand that divorce happens, single moms happen, single dads happen, those are going to happen. But it shouldn't be just an easy alternative. It should be a last resort. If our marriages were more of a covenant relationship rather than an emotional high, we'd see marriages last. I mean, you think about it. You know, you see people, they get married, and there's all this newness. You know, oh, we're married, and it's so much fun, and this and that. And the minute they hit a bump in the road, well, I don't love them anymore. Eyes wander somewhere else. What's that all about? A marriage, if it's a covenant, something that doesn't break, right? Well, it's just like here, Scott. If you have a position that you have here, and there are certain responsibilities that come with that, it doesn't matter what happens around you. You've got to maintain your responsibilities or station goes under, right? You can be ill. You can have some personal issues going on. Whatever those things are, it doesn't change the fact that whatever your contractual agreement is with this station, you've got to maintain that. And it's the same as it should be in a marriage. No matter what happens around you, you know, that's why they say for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse in the marriage vows. No matter, basically what they're saying is in, and in sickness and in health, it covers those areas because whatever happens, you go through those together. And we're missing that today. And then we wonder why our kids are not having any security, not thinking what life is worth living. It's really pretty sad.
You know, it's interesting. I knew somebody who was a really young mother. Now, not horribly young, but under 18 when they had their first child. And this is recent times. And within the last 10 years, 15 years. And they had another child. So now they've got two children, and they're not, you know, 30 yet. And the children are fairly old at this particular point. You know, they're not toddlers. And now this person is not a drug addict. This person is not any of those things. But this person is divorced. And this person, you know, the fathers, both children have different fathers. And I would watch this person parent those kids. And, you know, I used to think, and not that I never saw her do anything that would have been considered illegal or anything like that. But what I saw, I used to think, now, is that something I could see my mother doing? Is that some? And there's just no way.
Right.
Just no way. And, you know, and you can just see a train wreck coming with those kids as they get old enough to start living their own life, about 14, 15, when they can stand up against her. And that will happen. And it's awful. Awful to know that that's coming, but it is.
And it's interesting that people don't stop. It's a matter of priorities. And it's a matter of, you know, don't love your children to death with all you can buy them. Love them with your time and with truly caring about what you're nurturing and how they're growing. Little kids will come to church with their parents, and they'll come to Sunday school, and they've never been there before, and they'll come for a couple weeks. And you know, they love it. I mean, it's something new. It's different. You know, people are paying attention to them. It's a fun time. It's school without the rigidity, maybe. I don't know. Whatever it is. But then the next week, the kids want to come. Can we go to that church? Mommy just wants to lay in bed today. Go ahead and lay in bed, Mom. But you're going to be getting up in about 15 years every morning with that grandchild that you're raising because they need fed. Now, you can either nurture them now, or you're going to end up nurturing another generation. And kids do learn from their parents. They learn from their fathers. I think that the greatest shame that comes to America today is not the shame of the things that we all know that are wrong that people do. It's the shame of being too selfish to pay attention to our children. Now, somebody's going to blow up and say, wait a minute, you don't understand, I'm a single mom and working two jobs. That really isn't what I'm talking about. Because I'll tell you something, you can be a single person and or be working three jobs, and you can still find a way to nurture and love. You know, figure it out. It'll work. Kids know if parents truly love them or if they're just biding their time with them and putting them on the back burner.
But you know what's interesting about that? When you talk about that particular situation about two jobs and all that, how many times have you heard a grown adult, when they achieve something, you know, whether they graduate college or get an award for something, years later, they'll say, my mom worked two jobs to put me through. My mom worked two jobs so I could have this. My mom, my sister paid for this. You know, they obviously knew that their mother cared, even though she wasn't home a whole lot.
But I think that on the somewhere when that's being said, it was recognizable to that child being raised why they were doing this.
Right.
Because when they did have access to them, there was nurturing, there was love, there was compassion, there was discipline. But if, you know, mom's working two jobs and then she's just so burnt out on the weekend, or dad, that they go out and party all weekend at the bar and get you a babysitter, you know, that isn't going to hold water.
That's
the
difference.
Why they did it. That's the difference.
That's the difference.
And that's what goes on an awful lot. And the kids really, you know, even the kids' programs, it's hard to get people to take extra time to help young people that aren't their own. I remember years ago when we had the youth center, we had like 5 to 6 consistent people that would put the time in that it took to run it. It was open 4 nights a week, and it was open from 6 till 10, I think. Or 6 to 9, and you had to have at least 2 people there all the time. And one of the reasons we finally just stopped it was because nobody wanted to do it. Nobody wanted to take their time out and do that. But I think that we're at a crisis point in America when it comes to our young people, that we better do something.
You know, isn't it interesting though how people, I don't even think they realize what they're saying sometimes. You know, I'm willing to give people a pass on that. This past week, I was having a conversation with somebody, and they were upset that they were not where they felt they should be in life. But yet, when and they were willing to blame it on other people. And I said, but in the last month, who have you communicated with? What have you done that would have made this better?
Right.
Nothing. Nothing. So I'm not sure if they expect everything to be very quick fixed, or they just don't even realize what they're saying.
I think that we've conditioned people to quick fix. I mean, if you look at it, that's what we do today. If somebody is sad, you buy them something. If somebody is not doing very well, you call the coach, you call the, you know. It used to be, you know, the old joke was, when I was growing up, was if I got paddled at school, I was going to get paddled twice at home. And what I mean by that was, you know, the parents were in contact with school. You obviously did something wrong or you wouldn't have been paddled. And now we're going to make sure this doesn't happen again. You're going to, and maybe paddling isn't the exact answer of it, some other thing. If you're in trouble at school, you're in trouble at home. And now if you're in trouble at school, the teacher's getting an earful and leave my kid alone.
Well, you know, it's funny. I was just thinking of a situation here, and, you know, without going too deep, this has happened with several people. I mean, you're around 7 years, you see a lot of things. And something will happen where, you know, it happens to everybody. They can't show up. They're in a car accident. They get sick. Something happens. And you find out after the fact that this had happened. And you think, well, why didn't you call me? Now, I'm not saying that I could have come in or filled in, but maybe I would have known somebody. I mean, who did you alert? Why not say before the situation, okay, I'm aware you're not there. That way I can be a little more hands-on. I'm aware that there's a problem there, so I need to pay attention. But when I find out there's a problem, I'm saying, well, where? And my first question is, well, where's that person? Oh, they're not here today. Well, what? Why don't I know this?
You know, I think sometimes on the station, it's too easy to rely on archives, and when things come up. But you know, it feels kind of good. I've been pretty steady on the show in the last couple months. Boy, what a blessing that is.
You know, I was having a conversation the other day, and I thought, boy, we've had some really good discussions on Fridays, and it's been consistent.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. Well, you know, we have summer coming up.
We do.
And it's kind of funny. They're still talking about when kids are going to get back in 5 days or what. Folks, you got to understand something. We're on the downhill slope towards the end of the school year. So, you know, start thinking maybe beyond that. But during the summer, these kids need to be busy. Who was it was telling me the other day how encouraged they were about kids mowing grass? Or not mowing grass, shoveling driveways over the winter. They couldn't believe this last snow we had. There were kids all over Prospect with snow shovels wanting to earn a few bucks. Do you know that I haven't seen that in 30 years? And I think it's because of the time kids been at home. I think their parents have had them busy doing things. I think that a lot of home projects have been going on. We know that because you can't buy anything at the lumber yards. But I think people are starting to get back in into more physical activity and doing things. But we had kids all over town wanting to make a buck. It was all over the Prospect page. And I think that's a really neat thing that we see that kids are out and doing these things. But as summer gets here, you know, let the kids mow your grass. They want to mow your grass. You know, that you find that odd job that you just cannot get this done. You wish somebody would do it. And, you know, find a kid that's willing to do it and explain to them, now you have to do A, B, or C. You know, because a lot of these kids today, they don't know how to weed a flower bed. They really don't. And they don't know how to, man, when I was a kid, we were going around the neighborhood painting trim and houses and whatever we could do to get money, we got. And and back then when we mowed lawns, everything was a push mower. Wasn't any of this self-propelled stuff. There's a gas-powered mower, but that was about all you got. And I remember I mowed yards in Arlington with a friend of mine, Greg St. John. And we mowed in Arlington, and those lawns were huge, man. I'm telling you, in old Arlington, well, these long, sweeping lawns. And there you are with a Toro 18 or 20-inch mower. And we were in pretty good shape.
That's a long day.
I was like, we were humping it. But no, the point is, let these kids be busy. Get them busy doing things. Don't let them sit in their room on that computer. Tell them, you know, I'm going to give you an hour a day here if that's what you got to do. The rest of the time, I want you outside. This needs done in the yard. This needs done. And raise your kids. Teach them some responsibility. Show them that you love them by spending time with them, not spending money for them to go somewhere else away from you. You know, here's 20 bucks. Just go have fun. You're bugging me. Well, and then they wonder why the kids don't come to you when they have a hard time in their life when they really need you, because you've always pushed them away, and we can't do that any longer.
You know what I've noticed, though? There is a weird, as divorce happens more often, or the marriage of the mother and the father never did happen, what happens is you'll have a mom who maybe, whoever, you know, the child is living with, and mom does want to be strict. She does realize that there's problems with the child, but when she's strict with the child says, well, I'm going to go live with dad, and dad is going to, and he's not going to do.
Thank you, Scott.
Yeah. Yeah. That happens so often.
I see it over and over again where parents use the kids as a pawn to either get over on the other one or to get the affection of the kid, like they love me more than you. And it's the hardest thing for a parent when, I mean, it's every instance you can think of. Look, I grounded you from your cell phone because you're doing A, B, or C, and it's inappropriate, and you're grounded from it. They leave, they go to dad's the next weekend, and dad says, of course you can have your cell phone. And if she doesn't like it, I'll buy you a new one.
That's right.
And parents, I want to tell you this, if you're out there, if you're in a divorce or you're getting a divorce, come together on common ground with raising your kids. Because if you don't, it's all about you, and that's just horrible. If you love your kids, come to common ground over them and help each other raise that child if you care about them. And if you're unwilling to do that, then you've got a deeper problem than you know. And the poor child is going to reap the benefits or lack thereof of what you're doing.
Well, that's the problem. But that's not seen long term. the parent who is maybe the more disciplinarian, now they're seeing
long term.
They see it, but the other person just wants that love right now. You know,
well,
you're
I'll tell
so
you something, Scott, and it's a good warning to parents out there. If you are the spoiling parent, I want to tell you something. When this child gets to be 25, 30 years old, they're going to realize that one parent truly loved them, and the other one was just trying to pacify them. And they're going to be closer with the one that was the disciplinarian and showed them real love. And you're just going to be the one that they kept, that they know to come to for money. And that's not real love. So you're not doing yourself any favors.
No, and when you create that problem, when you become the person you go to for money, that's exactly what you are.
That's all you are.
That's when you see them.
That is when I was talking to a fellow this morning. We were talking about people in nursing homes. And the amount of people today that my daughter, Holly, she worked for nursing homes for a long time when she was first married after she got out of school for being a social worker. And it used to break her heart, the people that would pass away, and they'd call the family, and the family would say, is there someone that can pick them up and just do something with them and gather their things and send them to this address? And I mean, are you kidding me? I think that was the parent. I think that was the parent that just was the money parent. You know what I mean? Because how in the world could you ever treat a parent like that if they raised and nurtured you and loved you? And that's what you're going to be one day. You're going to be that parent that is left somewhere because you're no longer beneficial to that child. And that's what's really sad. It's come down to how much are you worth and how much are you not worth. Kids today, their parents die, they may be in California, they'll call some liquidation company and say, just go in, tell me what it's worth, get it out of there, clean it up, put the house on the market, and send me a check. And how sad is that?
Well, you know, I think a lot of that with that parent in their life, a lot of times it is money, but a lot of times it's also power. You know, when you're well and you're feeling well and you're in good health, and you can drive, and you can do all these things. Well, you don't need, you know, you can be a little more difficult with your children. You can, well, trust me, if you live long enough, you either die suddenly, and you're not going to know the, you know, you're not going to be in this position, or you're going to end up in that position. Health just isn't eternal for everybody, and once that time finally comes, then you're going to see who comes and visits you, how often they come and visit you, and in the end, what happens to you.
And I'll also say, though, that if you are elderly, it's awfully a good thing to be plugged into a church somewhere, because I happen to know some people right now that if it weren't for the people that know them as adults in church, they would never, ever be visited by their children, or they would never, or any of that. And the church is such a blessing to people that are in it, that care about those people when they're older and are going through these things. But, you know, we all get to that point where we look back and say, man, I made some huge mistakes. Well, you know what? You try to tell people today, don't make those mistakes. Give your kids the quality time they need. Take them to Sunday school. Show them there's more to this world than just things, just materialism. And they'll agree with you, yeah, I should, but I'm not going to put forth the effort to do that. It's just too easy to do it the other way.
You know what was an odd circumstance? I worked at Sears for a while when I was in college and a little bit after, and a lot of older gentlemen worked in the appliance and electronic department. It was all commission, and a lot of them were old GTE employees who had retired who wanted something to do. So I worked with a lot of these older guys, and there was a guy who was in his early 70s, in good health when I knew him. He was still working. He was fairly high up in GTE when he worked there, so he had a good pension, he had a good retirement, nice house, all these things. And he was nice. You know, he worked around a bunch of kids. Mm-hmm. They all liked him. He was not a temperamental guy. And then I worked with him for several years. And down the road one day, I learned that he had a daughter who he had no relationship with.
Isn't that odd?
Something had happened, and he had no relationship with her, and I don't think he did till the day he died, when I would see him in public. And when he got ill, you know, he just had, and his son would come in every so often, and they would talk, but it wasn't really, it didn't look like a father-son relationship.
Isn't that sad?
But the kids there, I mean, I heard kids say, you know, he's like my grandpa. Well, these were his coworkers, but his own family, something had happened.
They'd never nurtured a relationship, evidently, that needed to be nurtured. I mean, relationships have to be groomed. You know, they're not just something you take for granted. And, you know, that's kind of difficult when you see that happen. I can't say that I understand it because my kids, we're just so close I'll tell you a funny story. I was going to do something very nice for all of them just because I wanted to. And without exception, they said, Dad, do whatever you want, but don't worry about it. We know you love us. And that means a lot as a parent that they don't want you for what you have or don't have. My kids constantly tell me, I could care less if just, Dad, do us a favor. Don't leave us a mess. In other words, have your affairs in order. Just that. That's all we want. Have your affairs in order so that we don't have to pull our hair out when you're gone. But as far as leaving them something to them, they said, enjoy it while you have it. You know, we don't need anything. We have jobs. We work. We have families. We don't need anything. And it's just completely the opposite with some families. It's like, someone will get remarried or something and they freak out because this person's going to take some of their inheritance. I hear it all the time. And it's really sad because it shouldn't be about material things. It should be about a family love and a connection.
You would think. But, you know, I think also the longer you live, it's a lucky thing because as your kids get older, they become more in their own careers, and they become more solid. You know, if you die when your kids are 18, they might be looking at an inheritance a little different than a 45, 50-year-old person is looking. You know, they're in there because they're heading toward retirement themselves. They've set up their life in a way where they don't need that, so they want you to enjoy those years. Some people don't make those years, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah, my dad didn't. My dad was 40 when he was killed in an auto accident. And never got to see those years. And we didn't get to see those years with him, which was very difficult, too. But, yeah, it's tough. You wish you had family when you don't have them anymore. And that happens to so many people. And you should never be afraid to talk to your family about anything. I honestly believe that if our family relationships were better, we'd have a lot less drug use. I think that a lot of drug use starts with lonely teenagers and with kids that just don't see, what's the point? I might as well do it. Nothing's going to work for me anyway. I might as well go out in a blaze. And you see kids with that basically that attitude that there's nothing worth living for. And, nothing could be further from the truth. You know, I firmly believe that God designed all of us for a perfect life if we'll just plug in and let him take the reins and live that life. And it's a life of goodness. It's a life of charity. It's a life of loving and putting other people before yourself. And when you do that, you're more satisfied with your own life. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah.
That you know, when you're doing for others, it makes your life better. It's not that people praise you and that's not what you're looking for if you're doing it for the right reason. But your life's just better. You have a different attitude. You're not bitter. Bitterness is ugly. And every now and then, and it doesn't hurt to have an accountability partner here or there either that'll give you decent counsel. Hey, you know, I don't know, you're heading down this way a little bit. Let's talk about that. What's up with you lately? You know, I like those phone calls that I get sometimes. Say, Pastor, are you all right? You just seem a little bit off this week. And I know they care. And I just try to tell them I'm off every week. It's just certain weeks you recognize it.
That's right. Ups and downs. Ups and downs.
We're about out of time, aren't we?
Yeah, we got about 2 minutes.
Oh, good. Well, I want to encourage everyone to find a good Bible-believing church in your community. Or if you want to come to our church, if you're in our community, I'd appreciate it if you come to church. Or it doesn't matter how far you live, we would accept you with open arms. We're at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. And love to have you. We've got a lot of neat things going on, a lot of great plans for the summertime, and keeping these kids active, and what a blessing that would be to have people there.
Well, we do want to let people know that this program is live every Friday morning from 11:10 a.m. until 12 p.m. Repeats on Sunday morning from 8:10 a.m. until 9 a.m. and Wednesday afternoon from 3:10 p.m. till 4 p.m. And check out the website, WWGH1071.com. Go to Program Archives. The Pastor Spot is the first show on there. Programs back to 2018. You can go back and listen to any of them, and they are well worthwhile. And you can also download the free TuneIn app and listen on any mobile device anywhere. You know, for my birthday, I got one of these Google Dots. You know, all I have to say is, hey, Google, play WWGH, and there we are.
Really?
Oh, it's fascinating.
I'm going to have to look into that.
Those things are endlessly fascinating. You know, when was Abraham Lincoln born? Give you the exact date.
That's pretty neat, isn't it?
It is, and it's so much more interesting to me. Last night I had somebody on the phone, quick story in the last minute we have, who has seen me talk about or heard me talk about how much I like this, and he, I guess, didn't understand the ease that it worked. I said, well, just listen here on the phone. And all I said was, hey, Google, play WWGH. And it says, playing WWGH radio from TuneIn, and then, bam, the station comes up live on this little dot that sits in your living room.
That's kind of cool.
Isn't that? Technology working in a good way.
Fun technology working in a good way.
Fun
absolutely.
Technology. Well, everybody tune in next week. We'll be back next Friday, 11:10 a.m. until 12 p.m. And don't forget that the Pastor Spot is a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. So don't forget that. And at WWGH Radio, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
God's blessings to you all.
You're listening to WWGH Radio, LP Marion, Ohio. Anyway, I'm going to give it now, 740-383-9944. We're doing current events here. If you want to join in anytime on any current event, any memory, anything you want to throw on the table.